prejudice. Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here you go.
Free your mind.
Hi everybody! Welcome to the
show.
Hi guys. Hello. Hey, Christy there.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, how are you, Jason?
Good.
Here.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the
show. Can I just say, when I was younger, I used to jam to that song so hard.
Oh my God, I know. Isn't it great?
Right? I wasn't gay at all.
Not at all. The message of that song is great, and I love the Love in Vogue. Who doesn't, right? But
yeah, it's extremely relevant for now, too.
Absolutely. And by the way, everybody, if you want to find out more about Jason, Christian, or Donovan, myself, go to gayxyz.com. And listen to our show there. And soon we'll be on iHeartRadio in a few weeks, as well as other outlets, including
iTunes. Yay!
So just give us a little while. We'll get there. But tonight we're talking about several things we had on our minds. I called this show Gracial, or Gracism, because one of the things I came across an article, and I wanted Jason specifically to talk about it, because it affects him, I think, the most. Although I've been affected by it by myself. I wanted to talk about this article. Do you want to talk about it, Jason?
Sure. So there is an article that pretty much says, hold on, I'm trying to get to it. I got my pages open.
He's on a PC, everybody. Forgive him.
Yeah. Look, right before we went on air, I was just having a discussion that my Windows took like 20 minutes to boot. It was the most tragic thing ever. Mm-hmm. But there's an article out stating that there was a situation to where white men are objectifying people of color.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to like different apps or that type of thing.
Well, particularly yeah. Gay men.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And as far as that goes, it's pretty much they come up, you know, what they're doing is they come up with these messages, whether it's on Grindr or whatever the case may be, that says, you know, you're hot. I think you're so hot for a black guy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I like big black cock. Or, you know, or either like willing to pay that
right.
type of thing.
Or not even right. not even that. They just assume because.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's wrong. It's so
wrong. And my thing is that I'm like, I'm not, you know, trying to be sold to the highest bidder on, you know, Grindr or that type of thing. Because, I mean, I've experienced this, too, where someone is like, oh, you know, I was going through the profiles and, you know, I think you're really, really hot for a black guy. Okay, all right, that's a problem that I have when you say,
quote,
hot for a black guy. Mm-hmm. Because to me, it comes off as that you're saying that most black guys are unattractive or most men of color are unattractive,
right?
And you just happen to slip across my profile. I'm just like, oh, he's an exception. He's hot, you know, that type of deal. So, and it's just, it always just gets under my skin when I hear people say that, whether it's to any person of color, or I've heard the same thing say when I've heard women say that to like, oh, he's so hot for, you know, he is such a waste. He is such a waste, girl. It turns out he is gay. He is such a waste. And I'm like, I hate that because I'm like, bitch, someone's going to benefit from it. It just ain't going to be you.
Well, you know what, though? When heterosexual, excuse me, when gay guys or anybody says that, but a white gay guy says you're hot for a black guy or an Hispanic guy or an Asian guy or whatever, when they say that, to me, what I'm actually hearing them say is, I don't want to admit that I might be into a black guy or an Hispanic guy or an Asian guy because it scares me or it's outside of my comfort zone. You know what I mean? And so they don't want to admit it. So they just say, oh, well, for a black guy, you're hot. And so they have to qualify. They can't just say you're hot. You're hot. Just say you're hot. You know?
Exactly. Exactly, and that's what really gets under my skin when I hear people say that when it comes to, you know, you're so hot. You know, even for Asians, they're like, oh, you know, he's so hot for an Asian guy, or, you know, he's so hot because he's Hispanic, and yada yada. I'm like, let's just us be hot in general. Don't say, oh, he's hot for a black guy,
right.
Or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's just like a neighbor of mine, she's also a friend. She's African-American, but she was born with naturally hazel colored eyes.
Me too. Yeah,
and she gets that all the time. They were just like, you know, are you black? Mm-hmm. You know, like they're just so, you know, shocked that they see a black woman with, you know, naturally hazel colored eyes.
Right,
and they were just like, and she's all the time. She was like, if I got a dollar, for every time I heard someone say if I was actually black or if I was mixed with something, mm-hmm. you know, and that type of thing. It's just like,
well, truthfully, listen, this is the thing. Well, first of all, I'm biracial, so I'm half black, half white, and so it's different for me. But I gotta say, the thing is, when someone is black and they, like, for example, Vanessa Williams, by is an example. Vanessa Williams, you know, the beauty queen and actress and singer, right? She's drop dead gorgeous. She always has been, I think, and she has those blue. Green hazel eyes, right? And now she's considered African American, and technically she's African American because both of her parents are, but both of her parents actually are both biracial.
Mm-hmm.
One, they're both half white, half black, and so she's actually half white, half black, technically. So if you, what I'm saying is, this friend of yours who considers herself black, which she is. Black people in America have a lot of white in them. I'm just, right. That's just the way it is. It's just mixed in through our culture. So people often say it's just because someone's black. Black means a lot of things. It means a lot of different looks and a lot of different things. It's not one look. So,
exactly.
You know, so she just needs to own the fact that she's probably mixed with something else, but it pisses her off, I guess, because she identifies as black, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't, whatever. But but I also wanted to tell you real quickly, a quick story. When I was in my 20s, I told this story for my show a long time ago. I was dating a guy who was this tall, blonde guy, gorgeous, drop dead, beautiful, buff, everything I liked at the time. And he was just yummy, yummy, yummy. And we were dating for a long time. When I was younger, I was much lighter. Like now I look more like I'm like Middle Eastern or you know, Hispanic, my skin tone. But when I was younger, I was much lighter. And we were dating, and I don't know, we dated for about six weeks, and we were at the Village Station. At the time, it was called the Village Station. That's how old I am. It's now called Station 4. And we were there in the back patio with his friends, and we were talking, and they said they made this horrible black joke, okay? And I go, excuse me? And he goes, what? I go, that's not acceptable, especially with me standing right here. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm standing right here. He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, the black joke, it's not acceptable, you know? And he's like, so what does it have to do with you? He didn't know that I was half black and half white. He thought I was white at the time. And I told him, I said, I'm half black. He's like, what? You are? And I'm like, yeah. And so we had had sex a million times. We had been going out for a long time. And then he stopped calling me. And I called him and called him. Finally, I confronted him in person a couple weeks later after this. And he said, look, I just can't date a black guy. I can't.
Oh, wow.
I'm like,
I've heard that. I've been through that myself.
But I mean, listen. I mean, we had dated. We'd had sex. He was attracted to me. So this was internalized. This is internalized racism. He was completely racist. I mean, it was only the fact that I was half black that he wouldn't date me. It wasn't that he wasn't into me.
So, right. And then prior to, it wasn't an issue.
An issue, right. And it's just this kind of stuff in the gay community. So I think my point is, one of the things I wanted to discuss was, I think a lot of gay men are just as racist as anyone else. And just because they're gay doesn't mean they're immune to being racist.
Listen, as a black guy, I have come across so many profiles. Cause at one point, I was on Match.com, and you know, I was going through just various profiles like anyone else does on Match.com, and you'd be surprised how many people are just like, "I'm not into blacks. No blacks here.
No blacks. No fats. No blacks. No fats. No femmes or whatever."
That's what I was going to say. I listened to your show, Donovan, about labels and all those different types of things. Yes. I think it goes for the gay community. A lot of different types of things, not just black or white. Well, I definitely agree with what you guys are saying, especially with this Huffington Post article that we're referring to. But when I was reading it, my just outside eyes reading this, looking in, I kind of think, because what he's alluding to is that, you know, people automatically assume that he's super aggressive or he's a certain type of way just because he's a black man, and the people on these dating sites want to sexually profile him as that, and that's not what he is.
Right.
And, you know, where does that stem from? Personally, thinking about it, I think a lot of that obviously has to do with the society, how we see black men, but also what's kind of drilled into our brains as we're young gay adolescents growing up trying to figure out ourselves. If you look, a lot of these, like, porn is very aggressive, especially when it comes to black men. It's very, like, you know, dominant and,
It's almost like as if they're raping them. I mean, pretty much, if you really think about it.
You know what it is? It's the Mandingo fantasy from the slave days when these slave women and people would have this fantasy about their slave guys and what they would do. I mean, I'm serious. This is the kind of, it's remnant of the slave days. And so they see black guys as being this hyper-aggressive, overly sexualized... yeah, I agree with both of you. I mean, I just think it's sad, and I think that gay people should hold themselves to higher standards, being that we're gay and that we have to deal with
adversity.
Adversity, yes, absolutely. And prejudice already. Mm-hmm. But I found so much racism in the gay community throughout my life. It's really bad, abhorrent, actually. But not everybody's that way, and I think that, you know, it's a matter of time. I think your generation's better than mine was.
Do you think it's just racism, as in like dating and sexually what you're interested in, or do you think it's like racism as in like friendship? Because I have tons of black friends. Most of my friends are black.
Personally,
I've never dated a black guy. I've dated a mixed guy, but I've never dated a black guy that was like a stereotypical like black culture type of guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean I'm closed-minded to that. It just has never happened.
But it doesn't make you racist to not want to date. It's not about preference. It's not about sexual preference and what you're into sexually, to me. I don't think that makes you racist. What makes you racist is like the guy I was with who was into me but wouldn't date me after he found out I was black. That's racist. Do you see the difference?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's a big difference. So I think if someone says that they typically have never dated a black guy, or they're not into black guys or whatever, I think it's rude to say you're not into someone because of their race, because you never know. You may find someone you're into that's black or Asian or whatever.
Right, exactly. And that completely contradicts everything that we try to stand for in our...
Right, and I think it's just closed-minded, and it's offensive to the people that they're saying it about.
But I also feel that way when it comes to body image too in the gay community.
Exactly, what I was thinking when I was reading this. I felt like it went very hand in hand.
Gay men have it harder than heterosexual women, in my opinion, when it comes to the beauty standard we have to uphold. I know that you probably disagree, but I think it's the truth.
I completely 100% agree, especially. You know, having my website where I'm constantly posting photos of myself.
Fashion stuff, right.
And I mean, there's a ton of pressure. And for a while, you know, I did fall victim to that. Now I've, you know, kind of gotten out of that phase. But there's a ton of what I call like gay fat shaming.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, God forbid, you know, you eat a little bit of Taco Bell. You know, it's an issue, but unfortunately, not everybody, you know, likes to hang out at the juice bar and go to 24-hour fitness and then post it on their
exactly.
Grinder.
Because I'm a bigger guy, okay, and I am very aware of that. And then when I hear people say something like, you know, I actually went on a date with a guy. This was a few years back, and we were, you know, chatting back and forth and that type of thing. We actually met in person, and no lie, he said his exact words were. He said, I think you're a really great guy, but you're bigger than most guys I typically date.
Well, did he say that and then say, so I'm not going to date you, or I'm not into you, or something?
No, so he said, so he was pretty much like, pretty much this is the end of my dating.
It was an insinuation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's rude. That is rude then. I mean, I think it's rude.
But I do. I was just like, okay.
Well, I mean, like, it's one thing for him to say, to say it as a factual statement and say, look, I haven't really ever dated someone that's a little stockier or whatever you want to call it, but I'm still into you. I still want to fuck you. I still want to have sex with you, whatever. I still want to do, you know, that's one thing. But for him to say, sorry, no, bye, that's just wrong, I think.
Right.
But I don't know. I think, you know, for me, I've gone through phases where I was very extremely fit, and I've gone through phases where I'm not, and I'm right now in a not phase. So I've gone through, you know, ups and downs all my whole life. And when I was in my teen years, I was like extremely skinny, like a beanpole. And then college, same thing. I was kind of buffy, muscular-ish. And then same thing in my 20s, late 20s. And then my 30s hit, and it went up and down. And now I'm 40, and it's up right now. So my point is that you have to, for me, I'm the kind of person who literally, I have to, the only way I can stay quote-unquote fit or meet the standard of beauty that the gay culture puts on you is to literally work out 5 times a week and eat, you know, 1,500 calories a day. I mean, I just don't have the kind of body where you can just eat whatever you want and stay skinny. I just don't. I have to work.
Well, right. Right. And you're married, so.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. We were working out all the time, going to the gym 5 times a week and stuff, and then we got married and we stopped, and now, you know.
Right. But I always feel like, especially with body weight, it's one of those things where, you know, internally you'll always do it for yourself when you're ready to do it for yourself. You know, being in a relationship, you know, obviously dictates the up part. I don't know how much it
does,
down part.
But I think, though, I still have the desire to work out. I feel good when I do, but I hate it. I never liked working out. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I don't like working out. When I was a kid, I hated working out. I mean, like, going to gym class and shit, I hated it. I'm like, why do I want to go outside and sweat? I don't want to do that shit. So, I really was. And so, and even now when I work out, I don't like to sweat. I'm like, it's just gross, and it gets so hot and disgusting. But anyway, point is, you're making, Jason, I agree with you, and I think that, and you are making also, I think that it's true. I think we have a really high standard that it's impossible to meet. And I think it's not impossible. I think it's possible, but you have to literally live the gym, like you said, and watch every fucking bite you eat, and care a whole fucking lot what people think about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, just don't give a shit. Just be yourself, be beautiful, and love it. That's all I can say.
That's how I am. I'm like,
I agree, too.
Look, this is how I am. This what you see is what you get. If you don't like it, then fuck you and your mama too.
Right.
Right. I've got a great personality.
But you also, you know, I don't think it even, if you think about it, after a while, you begin to be okay with yourself, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I absolutely 100% agree. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm big. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm small, but I am thick. I've always been thick. And, so, you know, yeah. I've accepted that. And while I do receive a lot of, like, gay fat shaming, I don't let that affect me in the nearest because I know that I live a somewhat healthy lifestyle.
Right.
And, you know, that's what works best for me.
Well, and, you know, also there's always somebody who likes different body types. There's always there's guys who like thin guys who like bigger guys who like, you know, I was talking about otters and twinks and all that stuff last night on my show. And there's all types for somebody. So just because you don't fit into what's considered the gay beauty standard doesn't mean that there's not people who find you beautiful, in my opinion.
I agree. You're absolutely right.
So you just got to find the right people. All right. Let me see what's next. Okay.
Did you guys see, do you guys remember that whole story about Rachel Dolezal? Is that how you pronounce her name?
Yeah.
She's the one that was the NAACP. Did you guys see the interview that came out with her today in her local newspaper?
No. What'd she say now?
It was basically like a where is she now type of thing. And she made a very interesting claim that I actually wanted to hear your guys' opinion on. You can actually read it on Vanity Fair. They posted it. This is the quote. It goes as this. It's taken my entire life to negotiate how to identify and how I've done a lot of research and a lot of studying. I could have a long conversation, academic conversation about that. I don't know. I just feel I didn't mislead anybody. I didn't deceive anybody. If people feel misled or deceived, then sorry that they feel that way. But I believe that's more due to their definition and construct of race in their own minds.
That's not true. And you know why?
Hold on. This is the juicy part. I wouldn't say that I'm African American, but I would say that I'm black.
I understand that. Culturally, she feels she's black. And I think that that's a valid point. I think you can feel black or any other culture and not be it. That's true. Right. But I still think she's fucking crazy and out of her mind. Because the woman said, she said in that quote you just said, that she never lied about it. That's not true. She made up and said that some black guy was her dad.
She'd been lying for years.
And she said, she said her dad was African-American, which would make her part African-American. And so that's a complete fucking lie.
Yeah.
So for her to say she didn't lie is just a fucking bullshit lie.
Right. I just thought that was so interesting. I read that this morning and was dying to hear
it. It is interesting because I do think, and I've said this before, and we talked about this previously, I think, about how culture is different than race, I think.
Right.
And that's what she means. And I think she means that she's identified with the black culture, and that's what she's appropriated for herself, and she's comfortable. And more power to her. That's fine.
Exactly. That's what I agree with. I'm like, it's fine if you feel yourself to be more comfortable, you know, in black culture or living as a black woman.
Yeah.
But it's like, But when you come out with a statement like that, it's like, come on now. Like, seriously?
See, but then are we going to get into the phase where people are, they say, oh, don't call me white, I'm black, because, you know, I grew up around black people, so I'm black.
Well, no, they're not. They're, if they want to say black and use it as a different term as for culture versus African American being a racial term, if they define it that way, yeah. But if they mean black in terms of their race, obviously that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't just appropriate someone else's race. I can't go out and say, I mean, I'm two racist. I'm trying to think. I can't go out and say I'm Asian because I'm not Asian. Not any part of me is Asian. I'm you know, just because I like the Asian culture and I want to wear a kimono.
You like orange chicken. You like kimono.
Right. I mean, please, that does not make you Asian. It makes you
exactly
Asian. Nice. What's the word? Anglophile. So it makes you Asian, an Asian file. That's what it makes you.
Right.
So yeah. Whatever. The bitch is stupid and crazy.
But then my thing is, I'm like, she says this, but I was like, but then when she, you know, sued the college, you know, a few years back for the
Howard University.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, clearly you thought you sued and you thought you was a white woman then.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I mean, because really, I mean, she sued them. What did she sue them for again? It was for...
They wouldn't admit her because she was... She said because they wouldn't admit her because she was black. She's white or whatever.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, clearly you thought you... And you, you know, obviously won. So I'm like, okay, so clearly you thought you were a white woman at that particular moment.
Right. And she has what I call cognitive dissonance. And I think, you know, and there's something true. She's not biracial, but she kind of acts like it. And some biracial people have this issue to some degree. When I was a kid, I literally... I remember the day I stood in the mirror. I grew up around my mom's family, who's all white, and my dad's family I really saw because I hate him. He's an asshole. But anyway, I looked in the mirror one day when I was 16 years old. I go, oh, my God, I'm ethnic. I mean, I seriously said that out loud. And the reason I said that was because it took me that long to realize it. I mean, I obviously knew mentally that I was, but I never identified with that side of my family and who I was because I just didn't feel connected to it. And so it doesn't mean I'm not half black and half white. It means that I felt this kind of cognitive dissonance about myself. And so I think that she has it to some nth degree, the same kind of thing where she just has not made peace with the fact that she is white, which is so funny to say. How many people do you know say, it's like Whoopi Goldberg said in The View, how many people claim they want to be black, you know?
Right. Nobody. Yeah, and you know what? She has a point. I mean, going back when I was in college, I attended college with this girl that I knew, and she had three biracial children. But for some reason, she always... her children were half black, half white, but she only wanted them to connect with the white side. And I kind of had an issue with that. I was like, why would you want them to connect with the white side? And they're biracial. They need to connect with everything
they
all
do.
The way around.
They do need to be both. They need to claim both. People always used to say to me, are you black or are you white? I'm just like, I'm fucking both!
I'm swirly!
God, exactly! It was so impossible for them to get that fucking concept. I'm like,
it kind of pissed me off just for the simple fact that she was only identifying her children as white, and she wanted them to connect with white culture. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, they're small children, so they're going to go along with what you say because you're their parent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, what happens when they get later on down the road and it's like, oh my God, my mom's been lying to me all this time. And also, it also comes off to me is that you somewhat have a problem with them being biracial or being half black. So I'm like, why would you shame them
for being
that?
What they
it's
are.
Almost like saying you have a problem with black people. Mm-hmm. That's how it comes off to me, at least.
Well, it's and that's a hard thing because when you're biracial, you have everyone pulling you from both sides. My dad's side was saying you're black. My mom's side was saying you're both. They never said I was one or the other. They said both. And my friends would say you're white because I hung out with them all the time. And I looked whiter than. And they would say some people would say you're black because you have your dad's. I mean, all these people telling you what you are all the fucking time. It's really hard. Hard for you to decide when you're biracial what the fuck you are and what you identify with. But there's two differences, like you were saying. There's a difference between being what you are racially, your genetic makeup, and your culturally what you identify with. I think there's a difference there. And so a lot of biracial people do identify with one or the other. But what I do have a problem with, and we'll move on, I do have a problem is with people who, both on the black side and the white side, who will say to a biracial person, you need to choose. Are you black or are you white? Are you this or you that? Or if you if you're black, if you have one drop rule, you're black, and you're white if you look white, and I mean there's all this fucking bullshit nonsense. It's so confusing.
It's just labeling, and it really needs to stop. It really does.
It is, and that's yeah, you're right. Anyway, let's move on. Christian, wanted to talk about dating deal breakers, when to leave and when to stay.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking a little bit about like relationships. You know, like I said earlier, I'm fairly out of a long-term four-year relationship, and when I explain to my friends, when they ask, you know, why did you break up, and, you know, what could it be, you know, I remember thinking in the pits of our relationship, thinking to myself, you know, everybody says that there are these roller coaster, you know, relationships are roller coasters, and mm-hmm. times get hard, and times are tough, but you stick it out, and that's what makes a relationship great, but what is it specifically that in long-term relationships is where you draw the line. What's
the deal breaker?
What's the deal breaker? You know, when do you say, I've had enough, and you move on?
That's a really, really good and
because
deep
this
question.
Is a battle I fought with myself for years.
Mm-hmm. I've had relationships like that where I stayed because I want to stick it out. I don't like to fail. I wanted to stay because I made a commitment, whatever. And right. I kept staying and staying, but I was always miserable and unhappy. And I think that you have to decide for yourself what isn't a deal breaker. For example, mm-hmm. is never having sex a deal breaker? Or some people are okay with that.
Now it is.
That's a deal breaker for me.
Well, I mean, if you're in a relationship with somebody, or is someone who yells at you emotionally abusive, is that okay? And some people say it is for them. And I mean, everybody has their own idea of what is and isn't acceptable. So I think right. you have to make it up for your own self.
Right. And I definitely feel like now, given the experiences, I mean, not to put anybody on blast, but if I were to put a scale of all the shit that I went through in that relationship and all the shit that he went through in that relationship, you know, my side or his side, hold on, blonde moment, my side would hit the ground because I put up with so much from him. You know what I'm saying? And my side of my responsibility would reach the sky because in weight terms on paper, you know, it's a lot. I've taken that and I moved on. So now in my future relationships, I know that those are, you know, no-goes for me.
Yes. And you know what, Christian? I know exactly. I mean, I'm not even saying. I mean, exactly what you're talking about, I have gone through. I know exactly why you left. I understand exactly what you mean. And that's exactly the way to do it. I mean, if you are giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and the other person is taking and taking and taking and rarely mm-hmm. giving much back, you know, if you look at the balance of the scales, like you said, or make a pros and cons list or whatever, mm-hmm. and your side the list is really long and theirs is only like 1, 2, 3, you're like, okay, you know, what am I getting out of this?
Right.
And that's, of course, that's a reasonable reason to leave. But right. you don't owe, in my opinion, anyone an explanation as to why you leave a relationship.
Right.
Because as they always say, only you two people know what happened and what was going on.
Exactly.
So, exactly. And that's my thing too. I've been the type of guy that I've never really fought to stay in a relationship. Mm-hmm. My thing is just like, you want to go, bitch, bye. Like, I mean,
but what if you want
to
go?
It's more to hurt that you want to leave or that type of thing. But
what if you want to go though? What if you're the one that wants to leave, not the other person? What if you're the one that wants to leave, but you're staying?
I would just tell them. I'd just be like, you know what?
Jason has no problem. Jason has no problem. Bye, Felicia. Okay.
You know what? But seriously, I've had no problem telling someone. They're like, you know what? I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling this. Clearly, I mean, but even before it gets to that point where I talk to him, mm-hmm. I've already had that feeling, and so has he. Because if I feel that way, he feels that way too.
Right, but why? Like, for me, it's not that easy. Because you invest this time with somebody, you have arrangements together, you have financial responsibilities mm-hmm. together. You know, there are things in relationship through communication that can be fixed. It's not as easy as... I'm just not really feeling it right. anymore. It's like, and then just walking out the door.
To me, it's like the metaphor I used is like it's like building a building, and every story you build is like another year of your life. And every year you build more and more and more, and you have this more invested in it. And eventually you get to the point where you have a skyscraper, and you're like, okay, do I want to knock this whole skyscraper down and start all over? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to keep what I have?
But my thing is that... With the guys that I've dated, first of all, I've never lived and shacked with any of the guys that I've dated.
Okay.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, because I mean, we would spend time together where I may spend that at his house for, you know, however long and vice versa. But as far as, like, officially moving in, it's like we're on a lease together. That's never happened.
Wow.
So, I guess, so that's why I say for me personally, it's a little, you know, it's probably easier. It's probably better that way for me. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Because even though when I date someone, I like to have my time apart. Because I'm one of those type of people that if I'm around him too long, I'm going to get sick of him. That's just how I am.
Well,
that's human.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just my thing. So my personal opinion is that I have no problem going to someone and saying, you know what, look, it's not going to work. I've only had that happen one time, and that was a whole totally different story. But pretty much, yeah, I was just like, well, we got to call it quits. This is what happened, so you got to go.
I think that, I mean, for me, you know, I know, and I told you this before, when you get married to someone, it changes the dynamic. It just changes things for the better, in my opinion. But you're really kind of glued to the person in a lot of ways that you wouldn't be if you weren't married, not just, you know, financially, legally, whatever. But you have this commitment that you've made that really kind of helps cement your desire to work things out no matter what, as much as you can, within reason. Obviously, somebody's trying to kill you or hit you, or you know what I mean. But I mean, basic relationship issues. Whereas, you know, for example, if I had been single, and sometimes some of the things that I have had happen and deal with my husband, I may not have stayed with him. And so there are things that have forced us as being married and having commitment has forced me to push through those things sometimes. So I think that that makes a big difference if you've lived with someone like you were saying you hadn't yet and things like that. That makes a big difference and the commitment level of it. Relationship.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of people out here who will stay with someone and will go through dinner or anything just to say that they have someone. And
yes.
I think they are just as crazy. I have a friend now, prime example. Her sister is dating this guy, and they have been through it all. I mean, they have been through fights. They have been, you know, all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, dragged her out the house and locked her out of the house. And she, you know, moves in with her sister for the night. Very next day, she's back over the apartment. I'm just like, I'm sorry, but you are a dumbass bitch. If you go to go through all of that, you'd have caught this man with other women, and you still go back. I'm like, you're just as dumb as he is.
That's codependency.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
That's different.
And also, when you're in a relationship with somebody for a long time, and then the second after, you know, you're dating somebody else, also codependency.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think is, like, how you get them is how you lose them. So if your man or your new man was just in a relationship and now he's jumping onto you, when y'all are done, you're going to do the same thing. And also a lesson I learned.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and basically, you know, gay men are just fucking assholes in general, so I'm not.
I'm really nice.
I am too. Yeah.
Personally, I don't think gay men are so much assholes. I think they're just more judgmental.
Well, that too. I think just generally, for me, it's like you look at just a man in general, a heterosexual man, and you have two men together, all the ego and everything else is you've got combating each other in a negative way if you've got a negative relationship with them.
I definitely think it's about finding the balance. I know for me, like moving on into another relationship when I ever do, a long time from now. It's going to be about that supportive balance, because in my last long-term relationship, that was one thing I never got. I never got support within my career, personally, or any of those kind of things. I was dragged down. So I know that, you know, I'm incredibly ambitious. And, you know, when you're with somebody that's not that way, especially when they're older than you, you know,
That's
the beginning of a crackling skyscraper.
It is. I've been there, by the way. I've dated every kind of guy there is. I've been dating since I was 15 years old, okay? And until I married my husband, I've been dating for a long time.
How old were you when you found your husband?
33.
Damn.
So 33, okay.
I got 10 more years.
You got a long time to go. And you know what? The funny thing is, I kept people saying, "Oh, you'll find somebody someday, whatever." But it's a long road, and you have to really kiss a lot of frogs and toads and shit. And even if you, the thing is, honestly, and this is the truth, I know you've heard it so many times before. When I found my husband, I literally, I don't know, are y'all religious or not? Another one of you?
I am.
Okay.
My name's Christian.
I'm not religious. I'm like more spiritual, whatever.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But what I did before I met my husband, I literally had gone through this horrible dates and these guys I was dating and just fucking assholes. I was so tired of it. I was like, God, I was crying. I want a guy who's this. I literally listed everything I wanted, okay? Put it out in the universe. And I swear to God, and I even painted a picture. I painted a portrait of what I wanted him to look like. The man came 3 months later. I'm not kidding you. So I'm not saying that you can just, I don't believe in The Secret or whatever necessarily, but I'm just saying if you put it out there,
manifest,
and you believe it, it'll happen for you. It takes time. So, and just keep the faith.
I agree. But I'm not bothered. I know.
So what about the Caitlyn Jenner thing?
Yeah, it's been the talk of the week. You cannot turn on your TV, you cannot turn on a computer without hearing about Caitlyn Jenner and the Arthur Ashe Courage Award she accepted last week at the ESPYs. And the big conversation is, you know, did she deserve it? And before we get into this conversation, I do think it's really important that we remember what this award stands for. And this is something, to be completely honest, you know, I didn't know who Arthur Ashe was before this. So I think that's important. A lot of people didn't. Yeah. And I think that this has spotlighted that alone.
Yeah.
And the trials that he went through, you know, I did some research today and I learned that, you know, Arthur Ashe was an AIDS advocate. And prior to, a lot of people thought that it was solely a gay disease, and it wasn't until this issue became so mainstream, you know, that it forefronted in the media.
Right. Well, let's play the clip real quick and hear what she has to say, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, the courageous, the stunning Caitlyn Jenner.
Can you hear it okay?
Yeah, we
can hear you just fine. As a group, as athletes, how you conduct your lives, what you say, what you do, is absorbed and observed by millions of people, especially young people. I know I'm clear with my responsibility in going forward to tell my story the right way, for me, to keep learning, to do whatever I can to reshape the landscape of how trans issues are viewed, how trans people are treated, and then more broadly, to promote a very simple idea: accepting people for who they are, accepting people's differences. But this transition has been harder on me than anything I could imagine.
One more minute.
And that's the case for so many others besides me. For that reason alone, trans people deserve something vital. They deserve your respect. If you want to call me names, make jokes, doubt my intentions, go ahead. Because the reality is, I can take it. But for the thousands of kids out there coming to terms with being true to who they are, they shouldn't have to take it. Thank you so much for this platform. Thank you so much for this honor bestowed on myself and my family.
Okay. So,
wow.
Nice speech.
That gives me goosebumps at the end every time.
Yeah, I think that people who say that she doesn't deserve the award don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand transgender people, what they go through, and they don't understand the award and what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think she deserves
just
it.
To read a quote really quick, that's from the Arthur Ashe organization. They quoted as what they look for in a recipient. It says, "Recipients reflect the spirit of Arthur Ashe, possessing strength in the face of adversity, courage in the face of harsh times, and willingness to stand up for their beliefs no matter what the cost." And I think that, you know, while many of the people that people have suggested should have won this award. I feel like Caitlyn hits the mark just as well as some of these other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
Because what people, I think, are forgetting is that this award is not a most valuable player of the year award. This is an award about somebody that's related to the athletic sports community. And I feel comfortable speaking on this because my brother is. And
is transgender or is he in the...
No. He's like very muscular.
Oh, okay.
He's 6'9". He'd be a gorgeous transgender. But that are not only connected to the sports affiliation, but that are like Arthur Ashe and bringing awareness in the face of adversity.
Right. And yes, I mean, yes.
You know, to kind of play devil's advocate and stir the pot here, a lot of what people are saying is, you know, how can we award a mental illness? How can we, you know, show our children discouraged by putting somebody on the stage that waited 65 years to come out as a transgendered woman? And how can somebody that's 65 years old that waited this long to come out as a transgendered woman speak to youth people that before this moment never connected to? So I think those are interesting topics. While I personally don't necessarily 100% believe in them because I'm much more open-minded than that. I do think that maybe some of those points can be valid. However, I don't feel like the point of people addressing Caitlyn Jenner and the ESPYs and saying the only reason they put her on here was to get ratings, because I feel if that were the case, ABC, the ESPYs, ESPN would be shoving down our throats commercials that would have been about, you know, Caitlyn Jenner's first public appearance and yada yada yada. And it wasn't that. Unless you knew Caitlyn Jenner was going to be there, you didn't know that this was going to happen.
It's yes, and the three things you mentioned specifically, those things are based, especially the first one, are based on ignorance of transgender people. And just like with gay people had to go through the same kind of thing that they're going through now. I mean, where we're misunderstood, we still are, of course, but I mean, to a far greater extent in the 60s and the 70s and stuff, especially, where people didn't take us seriously, didn't understand us, who we were, whatever. And when it comes to how long it took her to come out, who the fuck cares?
Right.
It's not an easy process, especially.
It's really not.
She's older. She's much older, and she was around the 70s, and she was a famous, huge, huge sports star, and macho, you know, whatever. It's not easy for someone like that to let go of everything that they had and were known as, and to just switch their life over and be a shunned by society, you know, in a time where no one accepted it. Now people are accepting it more, so this was the time for him to come out, or her to come out.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one issue that's kind of been shaky that people necessarily aren't understanding is that Caitlyn Jenner and Bruce Jenner did not come out as a gay man and then decided to want to be transgendered. I keep hearing this thing where people are saying, well, you know, if Caitlyn wanted to be Caitlyn, then, you know, why'd she have all these children? Bruce clarified that he was a straight man, however, internally a transgendered woman. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously living your life 65 years as a straight man, you're going to have kids. And I think that's where people are confused, that they don't understand that this solely is not a gay issue, but it's a separate issue within the LGBT community.
Well, they don't even understand the difference between what gender is and sexual orientation is. There's two different things. And he even said to Diane Sawyer that he didn't see his sexual orientation ever changing just because he's going to be a woman. And I actually saw something saying that he was dating a woman. I don't remember who it was. Or another transgender person or something. So I don't know. I mean, he was a woman. So I don't know what sexually he likes, but it's completely unimportant.
Exactly.
That's not for us to really figure out. I think people are trying to figure out exactly what he's into or what he likes. It's really none of our business.
That's
so I don't understand why
salacious
people, you know, some of the people in the public are just trying to dissect him and try to figure out exactly, you know, what he likes, what does he not, you know, what he does or doesn't like. Really, people, even though it's none of our business.
Right, and I agree. I just wanted to clarify because I feel like that's been a little muddy for people that haven't been paying attention to this issue.
Sure.
So anybody listening, I just wanted to clarify. I Am Kate comes on E, the E Network, this Sunday, so I'm excited to check that
out.
I'm going to watch that.
I am too. I'm excited to see what her journey's like. I really am. I think that they have a really hard time in society today. Hopefully she'll do okay. What about, real quick, there is a transgender reporter. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Yes, I saw it.
There's this transgender reporter who had been interviewing a Republican, or right-wing Republican, Ben Shapiro is his name, and she'd asked, he asked her, I think she...
I saw this a little bit. It was on the Dr. Oz show, Dr. Drew show. And they were having a debate, and obviously in these debates you have different, opinions. And basically what it turned to from the get-go was that...
you're a man.
Shapiro was saying, why are we accepting mental illness? We should be addressing the issue and, taking care of this. We shouldn't be glorifying it. And he just immediately set the tone of what the rest of the time was going to be.
Well,
and was just picking at, honestly, in my opinion, picking and pushing buttons on everybody else.
Provoking
even
her.
The person that was in, even the person that was in his stance disagreed with how he was going about it. But the real moment where it really shook down was when Shapiro looks over to the transgendered reporter, Zoe Ter, and says,
what are your genetics, sir?
Tell me about your genetics, sir.
Sir.
And obviously did that with intent and then denied that it had any malicious intent. Of course, a cowardly thing to do. So then Zoe Ter,
says,
put her arm around his neck, pinched his neck, and said, cut that out.
Right now, or you'll be going home in an ambulance.
And
wow.
Now Shapiro is saying that she has continued to threaten him, and that, basically suing for threat, I guess? I don't know.
He's basically saying he's afraid of a transgender woman. And
attacking him. Well, he needs to be careful because there's going to be a lot more people attacking him with the way he's going about it.
And transgender women wear high heel shoes, so that's going to be
right. And I'm very strong. And one of the things, and I don't know a lot about Zoe Ter, but in the segment, she does say, I've been overseas, I've traveled the world, I've been shot at, I've been stabbed, and this is a real issue. So I think in the strengths of the two, I'd say Zoe Ter is a lot more muscular than Shapiro.
Yes. But I love the fact, to me, it was a moment that showed where she was turning the tables on him, and she really took control of the situation, and she basically said, don't fuck with me. I love that. Also, you had mentioned something about the show I Am Jazz, which comes
out. This new show I kind of feel like has slid under the radar that I feel should be a bit more controversial. It's on the TLC network. It just premiered last week. I Am Jazz, starring Jazz Jennings, a 14-year-old transgendered girl that lives in the suburbs with her family. And Jazz has been featured throughout. She's been on the Oprah show. She's been on a few other shows throughout her adolescence, just because her parents have let her be openly transgendered since she was a young child, wearing girls' clothes, wearing bikinis, and they said she just kind of never went out of that phase, is what family members said. I think it's a really interesting show, especially in the light of all the drama we've had with previous TLC shows, such as The Duggars and Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. So I can feel a change in tone with TLC, and I'm not so mad at it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that things are changing in that realm. Thank God.
When does it come on?
July the 15th, I think it's. Or July the... Hold on, where is it? I'll find it.
I can find it for you guys. It's the first episode has aired, so on demand it. Look it up online.
Okay.
You had said something else about Miley Cyrus and the VMAs.
Yeah, it was just announced yesterday that Miley Cyrus is going to be hosting the 2015 VMA Awards, which has lots of people young and old up in arms. Donovan, I'm loving to hear your opinion on Miss Miley.
Well, I don't think that she's too controversial. I mean, first of all, I love controversy.
Me too.
I love it. That's why I love Madonna so much, But I love controversy, and I like Miley Cyrus. The thing is, she has really, in my opinion, proven herself as an incredible singer, and she's really a great artist in general, and she does push people's buttons or whatever, and that's what she's supposed to do. She's an artist, so what the fuck?
But again, I think it also goes back to, if she hadn't gone through the whole Disney Channel machine, would this even be a thing, honestly? Would people care that this girl is running around in a
a bear onesie.
She was,
no.
Because she was hot.
She's
Hannah
21
Montana.
Years old.
Yeah, everybody still sees her as Hannah Montana or whatever.
Exactly, but the people, what people don't see, I follow her career, I'm a huge Miley Cyrus fan, what people don't see is that for the 2 years prior to, she was trying to be sexier, but nobody was buying the damn
right.
album or the single,
yeah.
so...
yeah.
I mean, you got to turn it on when it's important to turn on. So I'm excited that she's hosting the award show. I think she'll bring a fun element. But as of earlier today, there's been a lot of beef between Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift over Twitter.
I just read about that.
Because a lot of people feel, and Nicki Minaj including one, that black artists were snubbed this year. I've got some of the tweets up right now. I can read through them. Nicki Minaj tweeted... at 2:14 p.m., if I was a different kind, in parentheses, of artist, Anaconda would have been nominated for Best Choreo and Video of the Year as well. She was nominated for Best Female Video and Hip Hop Video, but I guess she feels because of the success of that video breaking streaming records and, you know, all the, like, memes that people were making of, like, Marge Simpson and SpongeBob as the cover art, she feels like that's, you know, should be nominated. She went on to write, when other girls drop a video that breaks records and impacts culture, they get a nomination. And then
yes.
she continues to write, if your video celebrates women with very slim bodies, you will be nominated for Video of the Year with a big smiley face. Alluding to, maybe she wasn't,
Taylor Swift
mm-hmm. who then responded.
Uh-oh.
Because Taylor Swift feels like, you know, she's got some kahunas now. Mm-hmm. And she's been very open-mouthed over the last year. She said, I've done nothing but love and support you, which is true. Taylor Swift did kind of put Nicki Minaj on the map as far as, like, the white girl scene goes. And she wrote, it's unlike you to pit women against each other. Maybe one of the men took your slot. Then she responded, you must not be reading my tweets. You didn't say a word. I didn't say a word about you. But you should speak on this, hoping that I guess she was going to agree with, you know, women and
right.
so on and so forth. Then Taylor Swift quickly responded, if I win, please come up with me. You're invited on stage whenever I'm on.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No. And then she wrote, Nicki Minaj wrote, I'm so glad you guys get to see how this stuff works. Taylor took her music off Spotify and was applauded when we launched Tidal, which was the music streaming app launched by Jay-Z and a bunch of other artists. We were dragged. My favorite part, then Kim Kardashian tweets.
Oh, God.
I'm going to let you finish, but ... So, this is only relevant because this is just cracked today, and I think it's interesting for people to know, like, all this little pettiness that's going on. But I think it's true. You know, it goes back to the race thing we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know...
Double standards
right there. And mm-hmm. I love Nicki Minaj. I just saw her in concert on Friday and lost my entire life.
I love Pink Print, by the way. I love that
yeah,
album.
Yeah, it's a great record. Yes. I love it. I know every song backwards and forwards.
Awesome.
And I like Taylor Swift, too. But,
me too.
You know, I definitely agree. But, again, I think Nicki Minaj is also one of those artists that has, as far as mainstream goes, has kind of had lulls in her career. You know, it only works for the VMAs whenever it's, you know, the pop stuff.
Yeah, it's true, though. You know
that's
that true. Hollywood and the record industry both have a great racial bias. They always have. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new.
Right.
And she's just calling it out, and I like that she does, because that's Nicki Minaj. That's what she
right.
does.
No, I do, too, and I agree.
And it's,
no, it's the same way, and I know they were talking about, I was reading an article earlier today, they were saying that Rihanna was nominated for Best R&B Album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, I was like, wait a minute, since when did Rihanna become an R&B artist? I'm like, she's always been known as a pop artist.
Pop artist. Well, in terms of MTV, she's an R&B artist.
Yeah, I mean, she's not really R&B.
She's not R&B.
She's
but
kind
then,
of
she's not
reggae,
R&B at all.
Reggae pop combination or something. I don't
but
know.
I could understand where the problem lies, because real R&B singers that are mainstream within the R&B community, like K. Michelle and Tamar Braxton, I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
You know,
competing
because
with Rihanna.
They're not mainstream.
They're not going to compete with Rihanna. They can't in
right.
the same yeah,
yeah.
way.
But the thing is, it's going to be the radio girls that are listening to it's young girls that watch this kind of stuff.
It's
you know?
True, yeah.
It's mainstream radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
they said that also Sam Smith was nominated for Best R&B Album.
And well, wasn't he nominated for R&B at the Grammys?
Yeah.
And the BET
Awards.
He won at the BET Awards.
That is R&B-ish.
No, I don't think his music is
you
R&B-ish.
You don't? I do.
No, I don't. Because he has a soulful voice, don't get me wrong, but
if he were a black man, if he were lick. See, double standards, there you go. If he were a black man, he would be under the R&B label.
I agree.
He would. I'm sorry. No. Yes, he would. And also, though, I think it's unfair that they do that, because just because somebody's black, sometimes they put them under R&B, which is not really fair.
Like Rihanna.
Yeah, like Rihanna. Exactly.
So
I think he is R&B-ish, but that's just my opinion. But you're entitled to yours, too, of course. So you think he's not? You think he's more pop, then?
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I have yet to hear a Sam Smith song on an R&B station.
Well, that's good.
I don't think that's fair. I listen to The Beat all the time, and I've heard his music on there. I've heard Stay With Me one too many times. But just to clarify, I looked it up really quick on iTunes, and Sam Smith is solidified under pop. Mm. So, you know, they categorize them as that.
I mean, that's the same thing with, you know, Justin Timberlake. I mean, they consider him a pop artist, but he has more of an R&B feel to his songs. So that's how I feel about, you know, Sam Smith. Sam Smith has an R&B soulful kind of feel to it, but I still consider him pop.
Well, I mean, I think it's up to the freaking music people what they put them under and the award shows.
The same way with Adele. I feel like Adele has a... I'm not gonna say R&B, but edge. She has more of a soul kind of voice. But she's a pop artist.
Yeah, she is. You're right.
So I mean, that's just about the thing. I mean, I love Sam Smith. Don't get me wrong. So I love his music and everything. But I was just like, I don't really never consider him as an R&B artist.
Before we go, I just wanted to ask either one of you: have you been on Periscope yet?
Oh, God. I haven't. I keep getting asked about where my Periscope is at.
You
I don't
need to. It's blowing
teach
up.
Teach me. Teach me. Okay. Because I don't know. I'm confused. I've got too many social networks.
I know, so do I, but it is so addicting. Because, first of all, you can go on there. It's just like basically like FaceTime for the public or whatever.
Okay.
And so you FaceTime with all of your fans or friends or whatever. And you can meet people from all over the world, which I have, and talk to
conversations. So talk me through it a little bit slower. Water it down a little bit. Well, so I go on the app.
Because I've never used Periscope either, so this is
new. Oh, well, first of all, you both need to go on there and add me, Off Limits Show.
Okay, right. So you go on there, you search, like, what do you search? Like,
search for whatever you want. It gives you suggestions. You can search for people by your on your Twitter page or your Facebook page or whatever.
And you see if they're, like, live.
You'll see if they're there, and you can add them as your friends, and every time they're live, it'll go ding, and it'll tell you that they're on or whatever.
So it's like the mobile version of, like, what Skype used to be.
Kinda, yeah. But okay. It's so much fun. And I did my first one the other day, which I'm taking off because I just wanted to see what it was like. And I was really hungry, and I wanted some something at night. It was like 2 in the morning, so I made wontons on there, and it was such a fucking disaster. It was hilarious. But anyway, but you can do whatever you want. So do it. It's a good way to get more fans to follow you. It's fun. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
I'm gonna try.
Both of you do it.
I'll see if I can pencil some time in.
Well, the other thing, but I'll tell you though, it is addictive. And so I spent like the night before last, like 4 hours just sitting there on Periscope talking to people around the world. Okay. So it's fucking addictive. So you can do it from both ways. You can send things out.
What do you guys talk about?
Just, like, I talk to people in France and Italy.
About
and
what?
Everything. I mean, whatever. Food.
Macaroons?
Because people bring their phones with them everywhere. So the people like walking to the Boulangerie in France to get food.
Are you joking?
And people in cars driving down the road going places in California.
But I just feel like that kind of thing hurts our social issue even more.
No, I think this helps because
talking to people.
You're talking to your phone.
Why do you not just communicate with the people around
Because first of all, the people around me, whatever. But no.
Because all I know is if I'm in line at McDonald's trying to get something and the person in front of me is fucking periscoping with someone in Egypt talking about McDonald's. Like, do you want to fucking number 3 or do you want to go on the side? Because I'm ready to order.
Exactly.
It's not like that. Because
it's not like that yet.
Well, anyway, check it out.
Snapchat, we would be like that either, but...
I've used Snapchat once. I didn't like Snapchat, but whatever.
Yeah, it's a little bit more youthful, Donovan.
Yeah. I'm old. I knew it. I knew that's why I didn't get it. My niece uses it and I'm like, I don't like like it. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up the show now, if that's okay with you guys. We need to go. We'll be back next Tuesday, everybody, on the 28th with another show. I hope you guys will follow us on gayxyz.com. You can follow me at offlimitshow.com. You can follow Christian at Christian...
at Christian Craven on all social platforms besides Periscope. And on Snapchat, it's Craven Time. So hit me up there. We have fun over there.
And Jason's working on it. So
no, I actually just set up a Twitter.
Yeah. Keep your
and
Twitter
it
page
is,
up.
Jason underscore B underscore like. So Jason B like.
Excellent. So we'll be back, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye.